Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've done nothing!
Here's Nate.
All right. We're back. Happy Friday or Saturday, whenever you're listening. We've got a lot to get to today. Something that I saw that's on a reality show in England that's actually recorded in Australia. It's a show called The Geordie Shore. It's basically their version of Jersey Shore.
Oh, God.
I think that's all you need to know the whole thing. Norm Macdonald also going to be showing up on Netflix soon. So we'll talk about that. And we've got some grievances that we need to get out there. Some grievances. By the way, before we get going on all this, if you're going to be doing any Amazon shopping, please go through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. All right.
And why aren't you doing it?
Do it more.
Yeah.
Do it more. Maybe plan on your tax refund.
Ooh.
Get yourself something nice.
Yes, I'm going to get myself something nice for my work anniversary.
I'm going to get myself, I'm going to get more mic. I'm going to get new mic stands because Jason is still working on the, working off of the janky, rigged up one that I did.
You know what my wife did this year? So our tax, we're not getting a huge thing back from the taxes. She's of the mindset that you need all your money when you get it. So you can invest it properly and put it into the right areas and not give it to the government. So she likes to cut it as close as she can. So we're just getting like $1,000 back.
Dude, there was so long that I never even got more than a couple $100 back.
Yeah.
So $1,000 would be like, woohoo!
The
credit card paid off.
I wish that were a credit card paid off. But yeah, throw some of that on Amazon.
I will. I'll do that.
I'll be getting some mic stands so that we can move forward with the show. Because Kareem's isn't going to last forever. I know this.
No.
one day it's just going to fall down and whap him in the nuts. And he's going to be like, "Fuck all y'all, I'm out of here." So before that happens, I gotta pull out the Skrilla.
Be like, "Oh, nut slap." You don't win to Nate.
all right. So let's get into this. Let's see. Oh, by the way, if you're looking for something to do in Sacramento this weekend, it's St. Patrick's Day weekend. So you can go to the parade, drink green beer and act like a drunken asshole. Well, you can do that. SPW, Supreme Pro Wrestling, has a show Sunday.
Oh, March 1st.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's March.
That's right.
Oh, fuck, man.
Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day.
Holy shit. Yeah, I just can't believe the fucking, like, having a kid makes your fucking head spin, man. Time is going so fucking quick, bro.
Well, there's that and you're 40 now.
That's it.
Jesus Christ, man.
You're on the downside.
Yep. Man. Welcome to the downside.
Man, I feel like I'm sliding quick, bro.
Uh-huh. That's the extra weight of having the child there.
That's it.
Man. Should have had a kid when I was like 22.
I don't think that would have been a good idea.
For anybody.
Oh, man. Can we get ready to go to college? I'd be like, yeah, nope, sorry. I'm a poor dad.
Oh, good luck to you.
Good luck.
Good luck. You'll be stronger inside from this. Have you thought of welding? Welding?
Hey, you learn that skill. You're never good.
By the way, here's the thing that's important to remember. And if you've got kids, remember this. Not everyone needs to go to college.
Nope.
There are plenty of trade schools out there that will teach you incredibly valuable skills that will not leave you with a huge student loan debt where you will walk out after. Some of them are 6 months, some of them are a year. You'll walk out making good money.
You show me one person that's a good concrete guy, a good electrician, a good plumber, a good carpenter. Like, no, you show me like a good guy, like for any of that type of stuff, like those types of trades, like They're always working.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's one of the things. So when they talk about the discrepancy between the pay levels of men and women, they neglected to mention that those are the jobs that actually pay a lot of money. And most of the time, women aren't doing those jobs.
Like, and those jobs, when you're good at it, I mean, like, first of all, A, you got union opportunities with all those things.
Uh-huh.
But then not only that, you also have prevailing wage, which is any work that's done with city, state, government entities. There's a set level of pay that's the minimum they'll get paid for just picking up their trial for the day. Like minimum hourly wage.
So union wage, pretty much.
Yeah, it is. It is, without all the union takeouts.
Yeah. So if you've got a kid and they're in high school and they don't know what they want to do, don't just send them to college to send them to college. I went to college. I loved college. I got out in 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Busted my ass to get out early to save myself, I think, $7,000.
It's okay for them to do a year in community college and take some trade classes there, you know.
Or join the military.
Join the military. And here's the other thing. You can become a nurse, men, yeah. Women. There is a shortage of nurses. I have a friend whose wife is a nurse. She went to a nursing program at a community college for 2 years. She's an RN now.
Yeah.
She makes really good money.
Oh, yeah.
As an RN. She does things I would never want to do. So she earns her money. Don't get me wrong. Nurses earn their money, but there is a shortage of nurses.
There's a shortage of electricians. There's a shortage of a lot of trade.
Yeah, we are
workers.
We covered all that because all of the things that are being built, someone needs to build them.
There's so many trades that are out there that should be explored and pushed more. Like, that's why community college isn't such a bad thing, because they have auto shop classes at most community college. They have they even have sometimes radio broadcasting classes that you
don't do that.
No.
Don't do that.
You'll end up like Nate.
Yeah, you'll work in radio 6 years and go, Why am I working six days a week?
Oh my God, for minimum wage.
A little more than minimum, yeah, not much.
Not much.
My favorite was the job I had where he said, well, we can only afford to pay you $5.50 an hour, but you can work up to 55 hours a week of straight time if you want.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my God.
Swear to God.
Yeah. I just remember always having to work all the holidays because I was the overnight guy.
Christmas mornings.
Oh,
I worked so many Christmas mornings. Yeah.
I worked retail.
Oh.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not fun. But yeah, just open up your mind to the idea of this concept that you have to go to college. You don't have to go to college to have a higher education. It doesn't have to be in the arts or humanities. You can, here's the thing, you can go to a trade school, learn to be a welder, and read poetry in your spare time and become a well-rounded individual that way if you like. You have time for hobbies, you have money for hobbies, and you don't have all of this other happy horse shit. So stop pressuring your kids to go to college if they clearly don't have a direction. Now, if they want to be a lawyer and they know they want to be a lawyer, then yeah, they're going to college. They want to be a doctor. They're going to college.
Yeah.
They want to get a degree in brewing beer. You don't need to go to college.
I have done all kinds of shit. Massage therapist. You don't have to go to college. Esthetician. Anything in the beauties, you have to go to a trade school.
Right.
But that's usually going to take you like a year at the most. And estheticians and hairdressers make a shitload of money.
Insurance guys don't have to have a college education.
If you can sell, if you know how to sell, if someone can teach you how to sell,
yes,
remove your soul and teach you how to sell, you can do very well for yourself.
Or you don't even have to remove your soul, because I do some selling.
No, and me too. I
think you have to mute your soul sometimes.
Sometimes,
though.
Yeah.
You got to mute it.
I just manage people, you know, for the most part of my job. Like, I don't really, like, we're not into hard sales. Like, you would, like, with your insurance license, you can make an okay living, a good living, and not even be a salesperson. You can just be a client service person that just manages things for under, anyhow. There's a lot of things you can do.
Water mitigation.
Yeah.
Servpro, Service Master, or Stanley Steamer. Those guys make really good money. and men and women because they're both that do it.
Exterminators, not so much.
All right.
That's not a line.
Well, I know someone who did not go to a trade school, and it's this fella. He's a naked violinist who took to nude protesting a case before federal judges in Portland, Oregon. For 50 minutes last week, a group of judges considered the case of a man who stripped naked outside the federal courthouse in downtown Portland, played violin beside an engraving of a Thomas Jefferson quote, and then sat for hours on the ground before he was arrested. A three-judge panel of the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals peppered lawyers for Matthew Migu and the city of Portland with questions about what Oregon law allows when it comes to protesting nude and exactly what message. And this guy's name is spelled M-G-L-E-J. So fuck this guy. His lawyer, Matthew Gordon, argued that Portland police wrongfully arrested his client in 2014, because the city's indecent exposure ordinance protects nudity intended as symbolic communicative act or protest. He cited a 1985 Oregon Court of Appeals case in support. This guy was charged with violating the city's ordinance that forbids people from exposing their genitalia in public and in the presence of the opposite sex. What?
Is it lawyer goodwill hunting?
Right. State prosecutors later dismissed the charges. So then he went to federal court, but a trial judge dismissed the claims against the city, leading to the appeal. Said, is it really your position that if you're intending to communicate something, you may stand naked in the public square in Portland, even as children walk by? So the judge asks. He continued to press, every nude protest in the world is now okay in Oregon under the state constitution? Anyway, clearly you haven't been to San Francisco.
No.
Yeah, no.
By the way, so that guy clearly did not go to, trade school. So if you go to trade school, you won't be protesting nude playing the violin. All right. Moving on. In Salt Lake City, Utah, a woman now convicted of trying to arrange to have her ex-husband murdered, who was previously charged with seeking a second hitman while in jail, was charged yet again Friday with trying to hire a third hitman, because the third time's a charm. The stunning charges against Linda Tracy Gilman, who's 70, were filed the same day a jury began deliberating her initial case. She was found guilty on a Friday afternoon of one count of criminal solicitation. That's a first-degree felony, but was acquitted of a second count. The district attorney said, I've never seen anything like it. Early last year, Gilman was arrested with two counts of criminal solicitation, that's a first-degree felony, for allegedly asking one of her employees, a man who also rents a condominium from her, quote, if he could arrange to have her ex-husband, Mr. D. Gilman, killed. She allegedly gave him $5,000 and promised him $100,000 more once her ex-husband and his current wife were dead and she collected her ex-husband's life insurance.
Wait a minute. Ooh. So wouldn't he have already taken her off the insurance policy?
You'd think. Gilman was married to Dwayne H. Gilman, a veteran bankruptcy attorney in Salt Lake City. The plan was for the acquaintance to hire a third person to carry out the murder and make it look like Dwayne Gilman died from a drug overdose. That's according to the charges. Then in June, Gilman was charged with attempted obstruction of justice. Police say while she was in the jail, she approached another inmate who she thought was affiliated with a white supremacist gang.
Oh, man.
She referred to herself as the bank and said that she could make everything happen if he would take care of the man who went to police charging documents. That's according to charging documents. Gilman said that if somehow the man ended up dead or disappearing, then I would walk out of here a free woman. She also allegedly said that if the man disappeared, it would make all her dreams come true.
Wow.
That is a bitter ex-wife.
Man.
That is a very bitter ex-wife.
He wronged her.
Well, he has another wife. I'm guessing probably much younger. So, she is now, got a $2.5 million bail.
Be glad you didn't have any money when you got divorced.
No money. Sentencing for her is set for April 23rd. She faces a potential sentence of 5 years to life in prison. Yeah, well, I did not wrong anybody like that. Just saying. Well, He probably doesn't think he did either.
Yeah.
Anywho, y'all watch The Walking Dead?
No,
no.
Like zombie movies?
I like them, but
what about zombie marches? You know, the things where people get all made up in their zombie makeup.
We're doing down here. Yeah.
Walk around like assholes. Anyway, fearful of an impending zombie apocalypse, an agitated Illinois man allegedly stole a car, rammed a vehicle inside an airport terminal, and then made his way onto the tarmac, where he boarded a vacant plane in an attempt to escape the undead invaders.
Okay.
His name is Justin. Justin Deamy. He was indicted on several felony charges related to a bizarre drug-fueled spree in Peoria. Locked up in lieu of $500,000 bond, Deamy is charged with burglary, home invasion, criminal damage, and possession of a stolen vehicle. He faces up to 30 years in prison if convicted of the felony counts. Now, according to investigators, he was under the influence of narcotics on February 17th when he became convinced that a zombie invasion was nigh. Deamy is accused of breaking into the home of a neighbor, Larhonda Gonzalez, around 3 a.m. and stealing the keys to her Ford Escape. He then drove the stolen SUV to the Peoria airport, where he sought to crash into the terminal. He then somehow bypassed security and got aboard an empty plane parked on the tarmac.
This is straight up GTA 5,
right?
Man.
He then fled the stationary plane and, with the aid of a brick, tried to break into a Peoria County Sheriff's Office squad car that was parked nearby. He planned to drive the cop car to Florida.
Of course.
Deputies eventually apprehended him as he fled on foot from the patrol vehicle. Court records do not indicate what specific substance or substances he caused him to think zombies were chasing him, or why he thought that Florida was a safe place to seek shelter.
He obviously doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah.
Not a listener. Meanwhile, on Wednesday afternoon, Jacksonville police, in Texas, by the way, not Jacksonville, Florida, searched for a suspect wanted by several departments after receiving an anonymous tip. Jason's already laughing. Police tell KLTV media partner Jacksonville Daily Progress that they received an anonymous tip about a wanted felon, Drasharian Montel Hunter, 26, also known as Stinky Butt. The caller said Hunter was walking around the area of Lincoln Park. The caller also said that he was wearing a black hoodie and black jeans. Jacksonville police responded and saw Hunter, who immediately fled on foot into a wooded area between Greeley and Grant Streets. Police set up a perimeter and brought in canine units as well as a helicopter. They were not able to locate him, however. So, Stinky Butt's on the loose. That's what I'm saying.
And the dogs can smell it.
The dogs can't track him.
Something doesn't smell right about this story.
Dogs can't track him. Nope. Can't do it. Here's the funny thing. He's the same suspect who was a carjacking suspect taken into custody back in November. Initially gave, Van Police his brother's name instead of his own. He was suffering injuries from a suspected car wreck when he was found in that incident, so he was taken to the Tyler Hospital. When Van Police officer was transporting him to the hospital from jail, he jumped from a wheelchair and escaped from custody. He handcuffed him in the front. The officer got distracted for a second. The person jumped up and ran from the emergency room back towards South Baxter. You know what? Stinky Butt is elusive.
Yeah, man. Stinky Butt.
Stinky Butt is elusive.
Wow.
That's what
I'm saying. Every time, man, like, you could just tell where he was sitting because he left an imprint.
Oh, what's going on over here? Oh, I was where Stinky Butt was sitting. I don't know what's going on. What are you talking about, Stinky Butt? Anyway, I don't know why I went into Bill Cosby.
I don't know.
I would like to talk to you about the odor that's emanating from your behind. Do you have any pills I can borrow? Too soon. All right, that music can only mean one thing on this show. It means it's time for Cool or Tool. All right. First up in Cool or Tool, Never Giving Up. Jason.
Never Giving Up is... It's cool.
Kareem.
As long as it never lets you down or hurts me. Yeah.
Never giving up is tool. Sometimes you got to know when to let it go.
Oh, man.
I believe it's the second time you solicit murder. I'm next in Cooler Tool. The whole zombie thing. The whole zombie thing. Kareem.
Tool.
Jason.
That's tool. At this
it's
moment.
Absolutely tool. Stop dressing up like zombies and walking around in the street. You're not hip. You're not edgy. You're just played out. And finally in Cooler Tool, nicknames. Jason.
Tool.
Kareem.
They're cool.
Here's the thing about nicknames. Some people have great nicknames. Other people have nicknames like Stinky Butt. The worst part is when you don't get a nickname. Because if no one gives you a nickname, you can't give yourself a nickname. I mean, you can, but then you got to move.
If nobody ever gave you a nickname, that means nobody ever liked you.
Aw.
That's what that means.
Aw. Now my feelings are hurt, Kareem. I'm
you never, sorry. You never, nobody ever made a nickname?
Not particularly, no.
You're always Nate, though.
Yeah.
Or Nate.
Or Nate the Great, Nate Dog.
Nate Dog, that's kind of a nickname. When you have a one-syllable name, it's kind of a hard... But at the same time, when you make up a Stinky Butt name...
It's better than Stinky Butt,
no. So what do you think? Is it cool or tool?
Oh, nicknames are tool. Tool. Yeah. Because cool. People make up their own.
Yeah.
Especially people who call radio shows.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this is the Davester from...
This is Clarissa 725, and I just want to wish John 72 from Yucca Valley, hey, what's up?
Black people give their kids nicknames because you can't remember it all. Everybody in my family had a nickname because they all had the same name.
Oh, like George Foreman.
They were all named after my great-grandfather. Male and female.
Wow.
Yes.
That is amazing.
A shitload of named after him. His name was Willie.
Well, the struggle is real.
Yes. And one of my aunts named both of her kids, a son and daughter, after him. So it's Willie, Samuel, and what's the other name in the family? There's another name, but everybody has that name in the family. Or those two, three names. So you have to have a nickname so that you know who the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Nicknames from birth. Really, those are kind of just names. So
Stinky Butt is a nickname from childhood.
Yeah, that's definitely a stinky. It's...
And now it's time for the
otherwise someone would have gotten beat up.
Fucking grievances.
All right, time for grievances. You guys have been waiting. Jason, you were the first to bring it up. So what's been chewing on your taint?
I just. We kind of got into the gun thing earlier, and I don't want to take away people's guns. I just want them to be better managed and to be similar to how you have to have a car license. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. It's not that fucking hard. But to say that you're going to attack video games, and like my whole life they've been trying to show this causation, this link between the two, and They haven't been able to. The Center of Disease Control has done more studies on the effects of video games on youth than they've done on guns. And they have never been able to determine that it causes kids. Study after study after study has not shown that it causes people to go out and shoot people. Like that it, or that it increases aggressiveness in males. Like they've not been able to show a link to that. All right, and the link that they have been able to show is so minuscule that you can't. It's the same type of argument that they've used against any form of media that's come about, whether it was rap music or movies or television or reading, like anything that comes out that's new, they have to try to blame it, whatever that problem is, on it. And it's so fucking upsetting, like that. There's that's still a fucking thing. Do you know how many video games are played in Japan where there's been zero mass shootings? Like that we've been like, how many school shootings have you heard about from Japan or the UK or South Korea? Have we heard about any like mass shootings in any of those locations where video games see a popularity on par, if not more, than the United States?
No, of course not.
Okay, so there's not a fucking then there's something else wrong.
The reason why we have mass shootings is because we had a mass shooting. Point blank, period. We never thought about a mass shooting, the people of our age, Nate.
No.
We never thought about it. We never thought that it could be done. So, therefore, there weren't any.
Yeah, and in rural areas, you might bring your shotgun to school because you're going hunting with a buddy later.
Yes. They're sitting in the gun rack, in the car, in the parking lot. Nobody ever thought about doing it. Somebody did it, and that's why you have them.
But then you don't have the protect. Listen, you said it yourself. You know, one bombing happens at a federal location in Oklahoma, and all of a sudden nobody can buy fertilizer anymore, yeah. Right? And I put a bunch of laws on that. You know, I mean, like the things aren't. So we can say that it's because of that also, because like they saw a school shooting, but when they started seeing a rise of this in Australia, what did they do?
They put together a gun buyback program.
Right. And
but what they did not have in Australia was the NRA and a bunch of
Second Amendment
nuts and politicians in their back pocket.
So
there was a drug that was a popular drug in the 80s. Or probably during the Cosby era, that was it was such a powerful drug that they actually, you can't even buy the
Quaaludes.
Yeah, you can't even buy the stuff to make it anymore. Like they got rid of being able to sell the ingredients for the drug.
I have to go to the pharmacy counter with my ID, and they will put it in if I want to buy Sudafed that actually clears up my sinuses, because the ingredients in Sudafed are used to make meth.
So, all I'm saying is to try to so like our Money Boo Boo has decided to start doing. he's now blaming video games and television for the problem with the.
He's not blaming them. He's using the talking points.
Right. Of course, but there's a huge group of people that fucking I can't fucking do it anymore. And here's the thing: is the NRA thinks that they can compete with the media, like the people that are making video games, and like that machine, like they have another thing coming because there's a lot of money behind them. Also,
basically, they also have done a study that shows that about 80% of the people who have done mass shootings. We're not people who never played video games.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that goes into it. It's more likely that if you're a member of a hate group that you're going to pull off you're going to go ahead and do a mass shooting.
Oh, but there's some of them are good people.
It's more likely that you would be a cop because most of the people that have committed mass shootings commit domestic violence also.
Yeah. It's a disregard for life. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Kareem, what's been chewing at you?
So, I watched 60 Minutes.
Oh,
Sunday night.
I caught a little bit of what you're talking about myself.
Okay. If you go through a Senate confirmation hearing and you can't answer the fucking questions that they ask you at your Senate confirmation hearing, somebody is going to ask you those questions later.
Yeah, should bone up.
You probably should bone up. You should spend a lot of fucking time learning your job. If you are the person in charge of anything, you should learn everything that you need to know about that thing. You're in charge of your people at an insurance company. You should know about fucking insurance. I should be able to ask you a basic fucking question about insurance, and you should be able to ask.
Go for it. Do it. I'm fucking ready. I got the answer.
I should be able to ask. Nate has a new company that he's doing drone video.
Well, I'm not now because there's a whole thing behind that. But yeah, I can tell you about drone videos.
Nate can tell me about drone videos. He can tell me about marketing for a news network because that's his fucking job.
I can tell you about TV.
He can tell you about TV because that's his fucking job. You should not be the secretary of any department in the United States government and not know what the fuck goes on.
Yeah, and you don't get credit for answering after the fucking fact, after somebody can spoon feed you all the fucking answers. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't happen. It just should not happen. And not just her, is dumbass, sleepy ass Billy fucking Carson as well.
Oh, and fucking Pruitt.
Yeah, you should not be allowed. No.
I love how Rick Perry is all the way down at fourth on this. You haven't even brought up Rick Perry.
Oh my God.
He doesn't have a clue what's going on.
No. You got to get your head out your ass. Like, no. And she's a billionaire, but she didn't do anything to be a billionaire.
Nope.
What?
She fucked her way into $1 billion. That's what she did.
Well, congratulations to her.
She married somebody that had $1 billion. That's what she did.
Marry up.
Well, and the family is basically been champions of charter schools, private schools.
Then you should know all the shit that goes along. You should know the ins and outs of charter school. Like, you should, because at this point, you know somebody's going to ask you a gotcha question.
Yeah.
You can't say that it's gotcha journalism or they tricked you. You should know that that's coming because that's what you're about. And that half the probably 75% of the country is not about what you're about. So you need to be able to defend your fucking point. Actually, you should probably know your point before you go on TV.
I saw a number that was 90% of people take advantage of public school. 90%. 90,
yeah. So if you're going to try to talk me out of what 90% of people are doing, you should probably know what the fuck you're talking about.
Especially if you're going to talk about how much better it is than the public school. Like, you better have, like, listen, if I was trying to sell somebody a director's officer's liability policy, I better know what the fuck that policy does and how that's going to protect that company. Because if I try to talk to them about that and I don't know what I'm talking about, they're going to tell me to get the fuck out of here.
And your state better be the top at the shit.
Yeah, fuck that.
The place that you spend all your time is better to be the top, and you better know what the deficiencies are so you can tell me what you're trying to do to fix those things, because the shit is going to come up as a question. There are so many levels of fucking incompetence, not just with her, but whoever's surrounding her that didn't prepare her for the interview. And if she's like the rest of these dumb fucks that are in the Trump administration who think that they're too smart to that they're not going to be asked about these things, or they're just not going to fucking answer them, then the Republican Party is fucked.
Here's the thing, though. They don't care, because their whole goal with literally every department that they're heading is to dismantle any sort of oversight, centralized control, or regulation, whether it's the EPA, the Department of Energy, the Department of Education, doesn't matter what it is. That is at least the soft stated goal.
Yeah.
And by the way, what if she doesn't answer? What's going to happen?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. So she doesn't need to.
Yeah, and Mike Pence, the tie vote, he voted her in.
Of course he did. Of course he did. That leads me to my complaint, Kareem. We have a new record. Donald Trump just made 60 false claims in 1 week, topping his own record of 57. By the way, he did 30 in one speech. The Toronto Star is keeping track. He is now up to 1,314 false claims for his presidency. And here's the thing. And here's why I'm mad. There is a huge swath of this country that doesn't give a shit that the President of the United States is just making shit up. And there is a smaller subset of that that believes literally anything he says. Literally anything he says. Anything that flies out of his ridiculous pie hole, they just go, oh yeah, he's sent from Jesus. So let's go through some of these most recent ones. I'll skip the one about polls. It's really boring. He said the Republicans are 5-0 in recent congressional races, a point which the fake news media continuously fails to mention. That was from Twitter. Here's the fact. The media does not mention it because it's false. Republicans lost two congressional races in 2017, the Alabama Senate race in which Doug Jones beat Roy Moore, and the little-noticed race in California's 34th House District in which Democrat Jimmy Gonzalez beat a field largely consisting of other Democrats. Republicans lost that race so badly none of them came close to qualifying for the runoff.
Oh, damn.
He said, we sell a car in China, which is almost impossible to do despite the tax. It's 25%. That's at the Pennsylvania rally of lies. The fact, it's not impossible for American automakers to sell cars in China. GM announced in January that they and their joint ventures had sold a record 4 million cars in China in 2017 alone.
Obama saved them, so they're not.
The U.S. government reported in 2015 that U.S. vehicle exports to China had risen 1,127% since 2009 to more than 300,000 a year.
Damn you, Obama.
He said, and Bush, another great Republican, he got us into the Middle East. That was great. We spent $7 trillion in the Middle East over a 17-year period. $7 trillion as of 3 months ago. Also at that rally. The fact, there's no basis for the $7 trillion figure. During the 2016 campaign, he cited a $6 trillion estimate that appeared to be taken from a 2013 report from Brown University's Costs of War Project. That report estimated $2 trillion in costs up to that point, but said the total could rise an additional $4 trillion by 2053. That's 35 years from now, everybody. Trump, however, used $6 trillion as if it was current. He later explained that since the additional time had elapsed since the campaign, he believes the total is now $7 trillion. That's incorrect. The latest Brown report issued in late 2017 put the current total at $4.3 trillion.
Well, how much money is he spending in the Middle East if he spent $6 trillion? Or if it jumped that fast?
He said, so we have created 3 million jobs since Election Day. Nobody thought that was possible at this rally. Facts, between November 2016, the month of the election, and January 2018, we did in fact add 3 million jobs. So leaving aside the fact that Obama was president November, December, most of January, that figure is accurate. It is false, though, that nobody would have thought that 3 million was possible. Why? Well, more jobs. 3.3 million, to be exact, were added during the 16 months prior to that under Obama. And I'm not mad at him. I mean, I am mad at him. But I'm pissed off that nobody gives a shit. And this shit just slides because it's just lie after lie. There's so many. We can't pin him down on anything because there's 1,000 of them.
And if you try to pin him down, then, oh, you're being too hard on him.
Liberal media fake news, liberal media fake news. And if you fucking enable that, and they come for your job in the coal mine, in the steel mill. And by the way, people in the Midwest that voted this asshole in are starting to go, oh, hey, this tariff thing that he's proposing, that may be bad for us. Well, no shit. You know why? Because he doesn't give a shit about you. Also, he doesn't really know what he's doing. But either way,
he just wants your vote.
Means nothing. 1,300 lies. 1,300 in a little over 14 months. Actually, a little under 14 months. It's mind-boggling. And the fact that you don't care is even more annoying to me. That's it. Hold on. I believe Rage Against the Machine is appropriate. Where are they now? Why haven't I heard from them lately?
We need them back.
They had no idea. They peaked too early. That's what I'm saying. All right, so Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald. By the way, if you haven't seen his stand-up special on Netflix, it's a delight. It's a little slow-moving, but it's still a delight. He has a new talk show on Netflix coming up. It's the Norm MacDonald Has a Show. They confirmed it last week. The show will feature Norm, a sidekick named Adam Egget, and a celebrity guest in each episode, offering up great and unexpected conversation, jokes, and a behind-the-scenes look at Norm's world. 10 episodes have been ordered. He broke the news himself on Twitter, sharing a text exchange that he had with a Netflix chief content officer. Exciting news if you're a Norm MacDonald fan. I don't know. Netflix has so much stuff now, I can't watch it all.
You motherfuckers got me watching Queer Eye. And I fucking teared up in the first episode because that guy was so fucking awesome.
Yeah, that guy was pretty cool, right?
That's why I'm mad at you two bastards.
We made you feel.
Because you made me feel, goddammit. He made me feel. That was the perfect first episode. That guy was.
That's why I think that they shot him out of order. Because I think that they picked the best, like, there's a few other ones that are really good, but like, that one was like by far like
we're only two in, but that guy got the hook in.
Yeah.
Like definitely.
Oh yeah. 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 It's a fun show. It's a fun show. You'll have all of the feels. Meanwhile, speaking of reality shows, Geordie Shore, which is a British version of Jersey Shore that's, I believe, shot in Australia, had a moment. There is a girl named Chloe Ferry. She helped another girl named Abby Hallborn shave her privates. I've got video here. The problem is there's a lot of whispering in the video, so it's a little hard to hear, and it's not loading right now, so it's unfortunate. Anywho, Abby had brought a man back to the house, but before she took him to bed, she wanted help from Chloe with her pubic region. She whispered to Chloe, and I quote, "I need help with the vagina." She left her conquest in the kitchen with a kebab and one of her roommates while she and Chloe disappeared upstairs to the shared bathroom. Chloe explained to viewers, "We get back to the house and Abby needs my help desperately. I'm going to shave her." And then Abby told the camera, "Operation Shaven Haven is in full force."
It is not. I'm a man who worked in a spa. I have probably more experience with this than any man should.
Sure.
It is not a good idea to shave, wax, remove any kind of hair from anywhere down there right before the act.
Well, it just opens you up for some bodily fluid sneaking in there.
Yes.
It really does. Then Chloe joked, "So, lass, what do you want today? Short cut, short back and sides, Brazilian, long cut, short cut? The option's yours." Chloe gave her friend a dry shave around the knickers area before she went to the shag pad with a new guy friend. Whoo! They had fallen out earlier in the series over a new castmate, Sam Gowland, but apparently now they're, you know, at least.
And especially not a razor blade with a drunk person. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, it films in Australia. Fantastic stuff. Thought you'd appreciate that. It's like the Jersey Shore on crack, really.
But it just add the Australians' like sense of adventure to it. And
well, I don't know if they're Australian or if they are British and they go to Australia.
Oh.
So I'm not familiar enough with the Geordie Shore to know for sure, but I do know this. That's a good friend. that's a good friend.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Well, we do have some Jacksonville, Florida news for you, of course. A Clay County teacher was arrested after getting into a fight with another mother over what the woman wore to their children's baseball practice.
Oh, shit.
Terry Lee Corsi, who teaches at Clay High School, was suspended following her arrest. She's 37. She pleaded not guilty to a first-degree misdemeanor charge of simple battery in the case. Attempts to reach Corsi by phone were not successful. The fracas happened about 7 p.m. back in February during a Little League practice held at Orange Park Athletic Association. A deputy answering the call spoke with the victim, who said she was watching the practice when Corsi criticized her for wearing short shorts to the practice. The victim said things escalated when Corsi attacked her. She said that she was repeatedly punched in the face and then tackled. There were visible bruises on the victim's forearms, a cut on her right wrist, and abrasions on her shoulder, elbow, and chest. Corsi spoke with police about the incident the next day. And the content of that conversation was redacted from her arrest report. So, there you go. It's a... I don't know. I'm looking at this blonde lady, and I'm like, why are you so upset?
Oh, you haven't been to... that's right. You don't have kids. So, let me go ahead so I can prepare you for this.
Yeah, get ready, Jason.
When your daughter gets into anything, you're going to show up at the event on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning for registration.
Sounds terrible.
And there's going to be a chick in full makeup and heels. Tatas out, skinny jeans, the whole nine. There's going to be a couple of those. Every time. Karate, volleyball, soccer, football, any of it. Well, look, when you started reading, when you said where it was at, I already knew what it was about.
Sure.
Actually, I thought she had her tatas out, but short shorts. I knew it was one of the two. It was somebody that was dressed inappropriate.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. That's always. So, matter of fact, you might get to a point where Chris won't let you go to those things by yourself.
Oh,
because
I doubt that.
Because, oh, and that chick is always flirty, touchy-feely. Yes. But
Chris will go just, for it.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know.
Well, thank you.
Go for it. I'll take your nuts if you do anything.
That's how that works.
That's what you'll say to that. Yeah. Try.
Yeah, she's gonna be dressed full on like she's on her way to the club.
I'd be like, "They're your nuts. Do you want to keep them?" I'll find out. You know, I'll find out about it. You know, I'll find out about it. All right. Also in Florida, a woman claims injury caused by a drag queen's breast. She's now suing Hamburger Mary's for $1.5 million.
I'll get the fuck out of here.
She visited the Hamburger Mary's in Tampa, suing the establishment for that 1.5 after she said she was injured by a drag queen's breast. According to the complaint, Neldon Molina said she was with other guests and family members at a restaurant for dinner in May of 2015 to celebrate a friend's birthday. Now, the suit said Molina was unaware of the drag queen show until music began playing and she heard someone at another table mention the show. Molina, sitting with her back to the table, watched the show before turning back around and continuing to eat and socialize with friends. Now, when she turned around again, she said a performer, Amanda Dahad, pointed at her and began walking toward her table. In the complaint, Molina said she turned back around, not wishing to draw attention to herself. Amanda Dahad, the complaint alleges, touched Molina's shoulder and then walked in front of her and grabbed her head. The complaint said the performer then wiggled her breast again in the plaintiff's face and head 8 times. He was counting. The performer allegedly grabbed Molina's face and pushed it, shook it several times before pounding it against her chest violently. The complaint said Molina began to experience a headache and neck pain and told the manager what happened. Molina then went to the emergency room at Memorial Hospital of Tampa for cervical pain and uncontrollable headaches.
Get the fuck out of here. How did the cervical pain happen?
Motorboating. Forced motorboating, Jason.
But her cervix are not anywhere near her.
No, your cervical is in your neck, Jason.
Yeah. Oh. It's your cervical spine.
It's not her cervix.
I thought it was cervical.
Maybe you should have took anatomy in college.
No, I dropped out.
So that's why she's seeking $1.5 million for medical costs and expenses for the past, present, and future, as well as for pain she suffered physically and mentally. The complaint also states the restaurant failed to advise anyone of possible danger.
You're at a drag show.
She didn't know she was at a drag show.
She was at Hamburger Mary's.
She didn't know. Hey, I don't know. I'm just reporting the news.
So upset with everything, aside from the cervical pain, but like fucking Aaron Carter in my fucking head. How can I fucking think straight about anything?
She doesn't.
I had to look at Corsi's picture a couple of times just to make sure she wasn't as like hot as she was.
No, she was pretty hot. Just saying. What a day. What a day. All right. So we've all had this happen to us. We bought something, we didn't check the expiration date, and then we opened it up, and it's like, ah,
yeah,
ah, what's wrong with me? Well, this happened to someone in Colorado. I'm going to blame the weed. A Colorado father said he bought a box of cereal from Walmart this week, ate an entire bowl before discovering it had expired 21 years ago.
Oh, damn.
Josiah and Anthea Carlos of Lakewood said they bought a box of the Quaker 100% natural granola cereal from the Walmart in Littleton on Monday, and they sat down to eat some for breakfast. Anthea said she only took a couple bites before deciding something was off about the taste, but Josiah, well, he ate the entire bowl. He said, I just started eating and thinking, tastes funny, must be okay. By the way, if it tastes funny, it's probably not okay.
No, it's not.
Stop eating.
That's what she said. The couple was...
That means you're not doing it right.
Right. The couple said it wasn't until after Josiah finished his bowl they noticed the Best Buy date on the box. Looks like February 22nd, 1997. The couple went online and verified the box did not look like the Quaker's current design for the cereal, and the product they purchased indeed appeared to be a full decade older than their 11-year-old daughter.
Wow.
We just grabbed this off the shelf, and yeah, 21 years old. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said the Best Buy dates are voluntarily printed by manufacturers. They do that to help consumers and retailers decide when food is of best quality. Except for infant formula, dates are not an indicator of the product's safety and are not required by federal law. They say they plan to return the box of cereal to Walmart.
Walmart should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, they're investigating the matter, so... I do have a story for you though. So I went to Rayleigh's last Thursday and Leslie was like, can you pick me up some naan? And I said, all right. So I go over to the bread aisle and for full size naan, I only see one package up there and I look up and I go, God, it looks like there's a triangle taken out of one of the pieces. I go, what the hell's that? And I reach up and that package of naan, and it was the only one left, had been opened. And indeed, a triangle-shaped piece had been taken off of them.
Get the fuck out of here.
But wait, there's more. I also looked, and so I got her the last two mini naans that they had that were not open, but someone had opened a mini naan and dumped the two of them back behind the dividers on the top shelf. This is in the bread aisle.
Dumbass.
We went back to that same Rayleigh's 3 days later, and that same package of naan with the triangle taken out was still sitting in that rack spot.
Wow.
They have not restocked. And that open package that had been dumped out behind, still up there. Now, I understand that the bread guy is usually the one who handles the bread aisle. and they're not someone who works for the supermarket. But did no one walk up and down that aisle and go, huh, that looks odd?
Somebody always has, you always have to clean up. I mean, well,
clearly not. 3 days. At least 3 days.
Whoever's on the night crew did that, left that shit there.
Whoever was on the day crew left it. And the night crew, and the day crew, and the night crew, and the day crew.
It's not my job.
It's not indeed. It's probably what was on the non.
Not my job.
I don't know.
Awful lot of that going on.
3 days at least. I'm tempted to go back over there and see if it's still like that.
Like the stalkers at night, they're supposed to take care of that shit.
Unbelievable.
I wonder if what happened with the cereal, this is what my theory on the cereal is, all right? Because there's no way that they just had that on the shelf for 21 years, all right? What happened was somebody brought back a box of unopened cereal from 21 years ago and returned it, and they just put it back out on the fucking shelf and didn't check anything. Guarantee you that that's what's happened. It makes sense, right?
Sure.
It sounds like something that they would do. I think that sounds more like, that's more plausible than a 21-year-old box of cereal just sitting on a shelf.
It's weird.
We know that Jason, now we know that Jason will take back a 21-year-old box of cereal.
No, probably somebody just scanned the barcode and nothing came up. Some stoner probably brought it in. It's like, I'm not going to eat this granola.
Here's what I wonder. How does that barcode still in their system?
It probably didn't come up. They probably just was like, searched for 100. Oh, it's under a different barcode. Okay, here you go. Here's your $3.48.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right.
Yeah, a chick taking back trees at Costco, all right?
Christmas trees, yeah.
So, I mean, like, somebody taking back a 21-year-old box.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound too far out of reach.
21-year-old box. That sounds delightful. That's dirty. I know it is. All right. Small town news. It's heading to the land of North Dakota, where Marilyn Haggerty writes, "Isn't over till it's over." She starts her article with, "North Dakota ranks first in quality of life." I actually read that in a quality of life report in USA Today. And then she writes about a bunch of other stuff that I don't care about. So I'm going to skip ahead to ask Marilyn. A reader from Winnipeg wonders where he can find a good piece of apple pie in Grand Forks. The answer? Maybe Perkins, which is a chain, or the North Side Cafe. There must be others. Yeah, there must be. What are they?
Isn't that your fucking job, Marilyn? Just, yeah, what job?
By the way, if you're going to answer the question in the paper, maybe you do a little calling around. Hey, do you have apple pie? No? All right. Another call from Minneapolis was from a woman wondering where she and her companion can find a good dinner when they visit Grand Forks. The answer, Jason? Well, that depends. Green, pay attention. There is a choice of steak, seafood, Japanese fare, and Chinese food.
I think I'm going to stick with steak. That might be the only thing they can do right.
Another question. How do you spell Lamoureux? Says, by now most everyone knows Monique and Jocelyn sparked celebrations all over the world by sparking Team USA to win in the Winter Olympics. Quietly, proudly in the background is their grandmother, Edith Soley. She remembers the twins dancing, singing, and playing instruments as they grew up. Well, that's nice. That's really nice. And the last question, what is the best plate seen lately? That means license plate. Stop. It's H8WNTR, or Hate Winter. Hate Winter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hate Winter. But, of course, we have to, wrap this whole thing up with the cheerful people of the week. And they are Judd McKinnon and Beth Boulay.
Uh-oh.
They're your cheerful people of the week. Doesn't say.
Oh. Well, thanks for being cheerful.
That's right. They're just the cheerful people of the week. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. By the way, I was bumping around on Twitter the other day, And someone said that they absolutely loved Nathaniel Ratliff's voice, or Ratliff. And so I said, you know what, let me do a little looking. And I popped onto this album, this song, and I'm like, this is fucking amazing. I goddamn well love this. So I wanted to share it. The album is called Tearing at the Seams. It's new this year. And this song is You Worry Me. By the way, if you're like, who the hell is that? Who is that? And I go, well, you might have heard them doing another song a couple years ago. Little sort of stick in your memory banks. We'll kick in here in a second.
I like the other song better.
Yeah, well, this song's got 59 million plays because it was everywhere. Yeah, it starts out like a gospel song. You remember this one? Kareem, do you remember this song?
Yeah, that's why I said I like the other song better. I'm on a ride and shake.
All right, let's go back to the other song then. We'll skip ahead here. Yeah, much better song. Little evolution of the artist. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll see you next time. Kareem is off next week.
Yes, we have a work event.
So we'll plan something special without Kareem. Not because he's not here.
I'll miss you guys.
Oh,
we'll miss you. We'll have to plan something special to try and fill the void.
Yeah. Because we'll both be so sad.
That's right. We're gonna party like there's zombies chasing us. I encourage you all to check out Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. Listen. This is fucking amazing. The whole album. Just fun to, like, put in earbuds and walk around the house and just chill out. I can imagine myself driving. I can imagine a film cut driving scenes to this, like going from point A to point B, thinking about heartbreak.
Yeah.
I love this dude's voice. And his beard is on point, too. So, there you go. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Try and stay safe. Don't do anything stupid on amateur night.
Yeah, don't.
St. Patrick's Day. And if you'd like, I'll see you at SPW Wrestling on Sunday.
Boom.
Boom. Body slam. Body blow. Body blow. See you next time. Bye. And up on the wind it's carried. Over the sin is in the flames. You got time, you're on the